Hi guys, Kurt Morrison here, host of the Top 5 Film Dive. Just a quick word of warning before jumping into the deep dive episode for No Time to Die, the latest outing by Daniel Craig as James Bond. This is a very spoiler-filled episode as we dwell into the plot details and major plot points and obviously spoilers for this film that is now out in theater. So if you haven't seen the film yet, my suggestion would be go check it out, then come back to the episode. And of course, as always, please chime in online on our social media at Top 5 Film Dive on Instagram about your thoughts on No Time to Die. Without further ado,
five,
and here we go.
Okay, let's run.
Let's count them down.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a special edition episode of the Top 5 Film Dive. I'm your host, Mr. Kurt Morrison, welcoming you to a deep dive episode today, which we have not done in quite a while. But with the opening of Daniel Craig's last outing as James Bond in No Time to Die, I felt it was a pretty special occasion to whip out one of our deep dive episodes once again. And I have with me my near and dear friend in the online film community, as well as the League of Cinephiles community. Shout out, and everybody checking on YouTube. Mr. Alex Hummer, how are you, brother?
I'm doing great. You know, Sunday afternoon, nothing better than talking movies on a Sunday afternoon. The two go hand in hand together. So
Exactly. Between the football and between the movies, we've got a lot going on in our collective lives here. So that being said, guys, No Time to Die has taken over the global box office. It was released last week in the UK and internationally. We just got it stateside this weekend in Canada. And Alex is down in DC, still correct?
Yeah. New York at the moment college. Yeah, cool. Same release dates.
And then it's opening in China, I believe, if not next week, then the week after. But nevertheless, it's dominating the box office. And we are here to talk today about this fifth and final outing of Daniel Craig as Mr. James Bond. So to start the show really quickly here, Alex, give everybody an insight in regards to number one with the League of Cinephiles is, shout out.
Yeah, so the League of Cinephiles is basically a kind of a combination between a sports league type environment with kind of movies in a sense. So basically what that means is that we have a variety of film-related competitions that various, you know, 30 plus members compete in, the two most popular divisions being Cinema Wars, which is movie debating, and then film trivia. I'll get to that in a sec. But, you know, those, and then we have a bunch of other stuff as well. So it's basically, like I said, combining the two movie related competitions, stuff like that, that are fun and competitive at the same time, get people's juices flowing a little bit. Yeah. And, you know, just a bunch of people, you know, who are movie lovers in the Filmstagram community who, you know, want to, you know, fight it out with each other.
Totally. I love it. Yeah. I absolutely look forward to any time that we have our shows or our competitions. I've noticed that the trash talk just keeps getting a little bit heavier and heavier and heavier week by week between the factions.
It's
so
the
guys,
best. It's the best.
Check it out on YouTube, please. The page is growing exponentially week by week, which I love to see. So come out and support us. So No Time to Die. I guess the first and most important question that you and I discussed and we wanted to tackle was, is Daniel Craig the best Bond ever?
Didn't see that question coming, did I?
All right.
Okay, yes, no. So should I give my rankings now or no?
For the Craig series?
No, for the Bonds.
Oh, sure, if you want to do that. Oh, okay, I didn't even get that down in my show notes, but okay, you go
first
ahead.
First of all, okay, I'll say no.
Okay.
Here's why I'll say no. And by the way, it's a very close second. That's what I was going to... It's a very, very close second. The reason I say no is because... Sean Connery, right? Sean Connery, for me, set the standard, and he's kind of instituted this tree of influence where every Bond that's come after him draws from Sean Connery. So there would be no Daniel Craig Bond, Roger Moore, Pierce Brosnan, etc. without Sean Connery, in my opinion.
Amen.
He set the standard, and so it's kind of like a domino effect where he influenced George Lazenby, who influenced Roger Moore, who influenced, etc., etc. It goes on and on.
Yeah.
And it all stems all the way back to Dr. No and Sean Connery. And so, that's why I just think because of that, Sean Connery should be considered the best. He's also, you know, when you talk about the sauciness, the sexiness, the badassery.
Yep.
And especially something that's really hard to do when it comes to 60s, early 70s cinema, where, you know, the limitations are a lot more advanced or a lot more So yeah, when taking everything into consideration, I still have Connery in my number one, but mm-hmm. Daniel Craig, that takes nothing away from him. He's still a great Bond overall.
I literally echo everything that you just said there. Bravo, sir. You've got, and like, I touched upon this about a year and a half ago, right before COVID hit, when No Time to Die was originally supposed to come out. Ironic that we would have seen this movie a year and a half ago. Mm-hmm. But Connery is this perfect amalgamation of like that suave kind of handsome sexiness that like we as guys wish we could be and every woman wants to be with.
Yes.
But still that like, you know, kind of like cocky, kind of arrogance to him in regards to being not only a fighter, but again, like a spy. And I think that with Craig has the brash, you know, former army general part down pat, like the brutality that I think, again, something along the lines of like the Bourne series really laid the foundation for. And he just, again, turned it into a James Bond version of. But in my mind, man, over these five movies, he doesn't have that like bravado to him. Like as I said, like that kind of it factor that Connery has always possessed. And I think if you look across the line, there's been some that are like very over the top, let's say even more than Connery, i.e. like a Pierce Brosnan, or some that are absolutely ridiculous, i.e. like a Roger Moore. But yeah, Craig's my number two, man. Craig's definitely my number two. I think that there are entries in Craig's filmography in these five that I love and I adore. And they are like my number one and my number three. But Connery is still the top of the totem pole for me, man.
Nail on the head when you talked about kind of Pierce Brosnan being over the top, because I think the reason when you talked about Daniel Craig being this more like militia-like Bond is because Pierce Brosnan's character, especially when his last film came out, Die Another Day, it went really over the top when you're talking about lines like Christmas only comes once a year, stuff like that. It's really campy. Yeah. And so when they went, you know, in 2005, right, Casino Royale, that's when it came out. Yeah, when that came out, they're like, okay, let's just take it in a whole new, more realistic direction. So I think you definitely hit the nail on the head over there.
We're gonna come back to one sentence that you just said in regards to the realistic aspect when we're discussing these last four movies versus No Time to Die. So we're gonna come back to that. Now, if we had to rank Craig's five, we've got Casino Royale, Quantum of Solace, Skyfall, Spectre, and then now No Time to Die. Give me your 1 to 5. Rank them for me.
Okay. I'll go from last place so we can build up the hype.
Okay.
But last place, I think my list is kind of boring because I think it's everyone's list, but Quantum of Solace at last place.
Yep.
I won't go too much into it. Let's just say it was very influenced by the Bourne movies in the worst way possible.
Agreed.
Next on my list, I have Spectre, which I actually think it gets a bit too much hate. I don't hate Spectre. I actually think there are a lot of good elements to Spectre. Same. But overall, not one of the more memorable Bond movies, especially when it comes to Franz Oberhauser's connection to Bond. Next, I have No Time to Die, 3 spot. We'll go over why it's a 3 spot later. And my number two, I have Casino Royale. Is that a surprise? Okay. I guess going. I love Casino Royale.
Yeah.
But the number one is a place in my heart because it's my favorite Bond movie. That is, of course, Skyfall, which is the one I rewatched the most recently out of them, but it's the one that sticks with me the most. So
cool. I echo everything about that. Quantum, Spectre. So ironically enough, right before we went into the movie, my fiance turns to me, she goes, "What was the last one? Skyfall?" And I went, No. I said Spectre. She goes, "Did we fucking watch Spectre?" And I went, "I think we did. I know I have. Did you?" And we watched like a 4-minute recap of everything that happened. Spectre. She's like, "Oh yeah. This. Okay." And then the blonde chick, and he falls in love. And I was like, "Yes." And he seems to fall in love with every other movie, but that's okay. So with this, mine was Quantum of Solace 5, Spectre 4, No Time to Die 3, and again, Spectre and No Time to Die. Excellent, very entertaining movies. Not I shouldn't say excellent. They're good, but they are nowhere near, again, Skyfall, which is my number two. Mm-hmm. And then number one is Casino for me. Casino Royale just, it blows me away every time I watch it, man. Like Martin Campbell is just such a good director. And I feel like, again, it wasn't even a matter of the fact that it took it in a new direction. It's just, even on its own without the James Bond title attached to it, it's a good psychological action thriller. And again, I think it might be a product of those like mid 2000s, but God damn it does it so well. So
yeah.
So to jump into today's main topic of overall thoughts of No Time to Die, directed by Cary Joji Fukunaga. on a scale of 1 to 10, I think the expectations going into it were pretty goddamn high. I think probably the most anticipated movie this year. I mean, it would be safe to say, but yeah, there are other things, sure. i.e. maybe Dune, or even a few things that are coming out in December that might be a little bit more higher anticipated. But give it a grade for me. Give it a grade for me.
So my grade would be, so it's around a B+ for me.
Yeah,
it's my favorite movie of the year, technically, which really speaks to the lack of quality I've seen in movies from 2021, because my previous favorite was A Quiet Place 2, which is a great movie, but not, you know, high quality compared to, you know, a bunch of other years with movies at this time of the year. But yeah, my grade would be a B+.
Cool. Yeah, I give it a B, and I think tomorrow's viewing, because I'm going again to check it out just on my day off here.
Got it.
And during the Canadian holiday Monday. What's up, Thanksgiving? But yeah, I gave it a B. Walking out of it, I think that and we're about to discuss again, like our likes and our dislikes of it. It's a very entertaining movie, and I know that it takes a lot of aspects, good aspects of the old 60s and 70s Bonds, which again I dig. I like the throwback, and I like the kind of callback to a little bit of hokiness and the kind of comedy and the one-liners to very serious moments in it. But the things that stand out to me the most, Al, and I was quite surprised by it, is the score. Hans Zimmer's score was probably my favorite part of it, actually. I just felt like it really carried well with the action or the drama or the romance or whatever the hell was going on moment to moment. And and again, correct me if I'm wrong, you might know this better than I do, because you're really good with the scores and stuff. Is this the second time doing a Bond score? Because I know David Arnold did, or sorry, not David Arnold. Yeah, David Arnold did Casino Royale, and then I believe Quantum of Solace. But then somebody else takes over for the last two movies.
I want to say, because Sam Mendes usually teams up with Thomas Newman for his movies. So
yeah, that's true.
So maybe he did the score, but I wouldn't be able to tell off the top of my head.
Yeah. But I wrote down, it was just really beautiful at times. Also a shout out to the throwback to what's known as The Death of Vesper by David Arnold.
Yes.
Which is where basically he's standing at Vesper's gravesite while he's in Italy there, which is of course from Casino Royale. But that was my big standout. And then the action fight choreography, man. Like, I had to look this up very quickly before you and I hopped on our call, but a fellow by the name of Peter Reichley, I believe I can pronounce it that way. He's credited as being the chief stunt coordinator for the film. And, you know, most of us have seen the trailer, so we know what to go into and what to expect with that Italian kind of mountainside chase scene. But man, the stairwell chase near the end. Oh, the fight choreography there, as well as, and I wrote this down, is the chase in the car when Bond and Matilda and Madeline are trying to get away from the fleet of motorcycles, which then therefore leads into the fight choreography and the gun choreography stuff in the middle of the forest. Just phenomenal work. Absolutely phenomenal work. What were your likes from No Time to Die? The things that stood out to you?
Yeah, I echo everything you said for the most part. The action was great. The stairwell scene was something kind of, it seemed like out of The Raid or something. It was really well done. It was one shot. Daniel Craig at 53. I mean, he still, correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't he break his ankle or something on the set of No Time to Die? Or he's all I know, maybe I'm wrong on that one, but
I think it was Spectre.
Oh, yeah, that was Spectre? Okay. Yeah. Well, he sustained a lot of big injuries, you know, throughout his run as Bond. And the fact that he's still able to do this stuff is tremendous work, tremendous dedication on his part. Action was great. I feel like my thoughts on this film are very boring, because I feel like I agree with the consensus of most people in terms of my likes and dislikes. I thought it was the most emotional Bond film I've seen. It kind of throwback to On Her Majesty's Secret Service, which is a very underappreciated Bond film. And very an arc to James Bond that we kind of gotten in Skyfall and Spectre, but more well done in this film, in my opinion. Just a lot of campiness that I loved, not too much at the same time, that it didn't really overwhelm you. Lines in there that were, I can bring up spoilers, like specific stuff.
Go ahead.
Yeah. So like the watch line that everyone keeps talking to me about, where he's like, I blew his mind. that was the biggest laugh that I got at my theater. And one thing, very specific thing, something very small they did in the movie that just made my heart warm was when they had a henchman by the name of Cyclops, who had a mechanical eye that was connected to Blofeld.
Mm-hmm.
That is such a big like throwback to the Bond movies of old. And yeah. it made me so happy. I'm like, it's just so great to see a Bond movie again. This is so great. But yeah, the usual crew, her name, Naomi, is it?
Naomi Harris. Who plays Moneypenny.
Naomi Harris, mm-hmm. Yeah. Ralph Fiennes, Ben Whishaw, like all the regulars mm-hmm. are great. Lashana Lynch, who, mm-hmm. you know, people are complaining about, was great in the film.
Yeah. Really think that for the limited cards that they were both dealt, both Ana de Armas' character and Lashana mm-hmm. Lynch, and my fiance actually echoed this as well on the drive, they did really, really good jobs with the limited number of things that they were dealt. And again, this was the Daniel Craig show, right? Like everybody knew this was his last outing. So yeah, obviously all attention and action was focused on him. And again, whether it lead to another series involving them, perhaps another MI6 type of like spinoff, who knows what's to come. But yeah, I was really, really impressed with both of them, man. And it's such a nice addition amidst it being obviously, like I said, the kind of swan song for Craig's Bond. But and again, I forgot this actually I kind of looping back here. The direction by Fukunaga and then the cinematography by Linus Sandgren. Mm-hmm. Not only is this, to go back to the Italian mountainside scene, I guess we can call it, in the first basically 20 minutes before the title scene happens, phenomenal, absolutely breathtaking, like just edge of your seat type of stuff that we've come to expect. And I think probably like the most like entertaining opening bit or opening action choreography of the Craig series before the title credits hit.
But that's saying something too, because they're all really like, even like when you're talking about the Spectre's opening scene, Skyfall, Casino Royale, that's a high bar.
But like the part that really stood out to me the most and Linus Sandgren's cinematography and like just eye and the lighting mm-hmm. was the second that the title credits wrap up and you see the I guess we can call them almost like robbers per se climbing down the side of the building but going upside down and then there's the camera work and the spin, like just beautiful stuff, man. Mm-hmm. The color palette and so on and so forth, like it's just phenomenal. The whole virus robbery scene to me was really the action standout of that.
That was a great scene. Yeah.
And like, again, like it's something that just sets up the tone of like what's to come, but it's very short, very sweet, very to the point of again, mm-hmm. the kind of malicious intent of Saffron. Saffron.
Lucifer Saffron.
Saffron there, which we'll get to in a minute. But nevertheless, did you have any dislikes, sir? Because this does not seem to be in your top five Bonds of all time. And I'm hearing across the board that it's a middle of the pack out of the 25 Bonds. What were your dislikes?
Well, I kind of just mentioned his name, but it's Lucifer Saffron, played by Rami Malek. So Rami Malek, since his performance, his Oscar for the role of Freddie Mercury, he's been getting, at least from what I've seen, a lot of hate for his role since then in the Filmstagram community. I liked The Little Things. A lot of people didn't. I didn't even like him in that thing, in that film, as one of the few people who liked that movie.
Yeah.
But he's pretty bad in this movie. He's pretty bad. The writing is very convoluted. His motivation, although they do give him a backstory,
mm-hmm.
it still doesn't connect to his main motivation in terms of why he wants to create this utopia, they called it.
Agreed.
He didn't explore it all. Yeah. Why he wants to destroy the world, why he wants to kill so many people, just because, you know, I get it. He went through a lot when he was a kid, mm-hmm. but to go from that to want to destroy the entire world, I thought maybe it had something to do with his facial scars, something like that maybe, but not even that really. It was, and he was creepy, I guess, but not in a Raul Silva type, like creepy and intimidating way. He wasn't even intimidating to me. There's the moment where the rockets go off, the world is about to, you know, chaos is about to erupt, and he basically achieves his plan. And there's this moment in the film where I'm like, well, what does he do next? Like, why is this guy still in the movie? And this is before he gets killed. I'm like, so what do we do next? Why is this character still here? And I was I did not enjoy the character or the performance at all.
I echo everything you said there, man. I just felt like the stakes were very boring. The villain just kind of felt like a mishmash of like,
yeah,
oh, okay, we've killed Spectre, which was supposed to be, at least in my mind, and I think this is also why, like, I was very caught off guard by the Cuba scene, was you kill off the main antagonists of the last four Bond films.
For sure. No, that was another negative I had. The killing off of Christopher Waltz's Blofeld.
Yeah. And then Spectre as a whole.
It made the rest of the Craig films feel inconsequential because of that. Because, like, you just killed off the main mastermind for all these films and didn't even talk about it.
So. Absolutely. Absolutely. You have a film series over four. And I like, there's a little bit of laxity to it, I would say, between Casino and Quantum and Skyfall and Spectre, especially. I think Spectre was the first one to really, like, go really over the top with some of its, like, thought processes and its villain themes and such. But you've got this Bond series that's very grounded in like a realism or like a spy world that we would at least presume is very kind of this world, right? Now, all of a sudden in this one, we're talking about fucking nanobots. And I was like, I literally turned to my girlfriend and I went, what? Like, I was like almost like angry at the point and being like, this isn't what this is coming to. Like, you can't take 15 years worth of world building and then essentially inject a sci-fi element to it that's in the same vein as something in like the MCU, because it doesn't fit into this James Bond world. And I let it go. I really let it go as the film went on because I was just thoroughly entertained by what was happening. But I think that the villain, the stakes, and then the virus kind of subplot of, again, trying to, for lack of a better word, create this utopia. And again, very Thanos-esque almost, like, we're going to kill the people off that, like, don't deserve to be here anymore. And I'm going to be the one to determine who is worthy of being here. It was like, oh man, like, fuck, like, this is.
Yeah.
All right. It's not about you. It's about Craig. Just get to the point already. So. last but not least, buddy, and just to wrap things up here, overall, you gave me the grade, so B plus for you, B from me.
Yeah.
But overall takeaways, where would you like to see the Bond series go next? We've got all these rumors hitting the internet. Idris Elba took himself out of the goddamn running two or three days ago, and he's I'm not going to be Bond. He's the same age as Daniel Craig, almost, for Christ's sakes, makes sense. Do you think that they reboot this franchise in, let's say, 5 years or so? And what... maybe actor, or what direction do they take it in? Your thoughts?
Yeah, no, that's a really tough question. And I'm not going to pretend like I know all the answers, because it is so tough to follow Daniel Craig's run. And when you're talking about Sam Mendes, Martin Campbell, like you mentioned, Cary Fukunaga, it's so hard to follow what they accomplished within this string of films with all of these people, what they all accomplished. So, in terms of a direction, I don't know, like, they really went with a direction that I wanted with the Daniel Craig films. They're definitely going to go younger. I'm 100% sure on that one. Mm-hmm. I wanted Idris Elba, but for practical reasons, he's 49. I understand why, even though I really wanted him. Hopefully some of the cast members return from these later Craig era films. Like,
you think so?
Naomi Harris, hopefully.
Okay.
Like, I think Naomi Harris, Lashana Lynch, Ana de Armas maybe have a chance. Ralph Fiennes, maybe not. I'm really sad. But Judi Dench returned as them for Daniel Craig films. So it all depends on money and time. So I don't know. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to complain. Like, when people called Daniel Craig the Blonde Bond, or when people complained about Heath Ledger, the Brokeback Mountain guy, being cast as Joker. I'm just gonna wait until the movie comes out. And how many years? God, how many years? Knows how many years that is. And we'll see.
But I'm gonna throw one more into the hat there. And as much as I love Tom Hardy, Hardy's my boy. Like, everything Hardy does, I will watch. But I don't think he's a good fit. You want a guy that's, like, known but not well known, so you can make a star out of him. I think Nicholas Holt, man. Yeah. Nicholas Holt is this guy between 30 and 35. I think he's my age, and he's 32 or 33. And, good looking dude. Put a little bit of meat on him. Again, you can have him last as a Bond for like another 4 to 5 films, 10 to 12 years-ish. And the way that they were banging these things out between 2006 and 2012, it was every 2 to 3 years, right? Like, Quantum of Solace was only 3 years after. It was 2 years after Casino Royale. And then 3 years after that was Skyfall in 2012. So I think that's a guy that stands out on my side of things, but I guess we will see. They're even taking bets in Vegas as to who's going to be the next Bond. Yeah, they're taking bets. So So No Time to Die, guys. It is in theaters right now here in North America, obviously overseas in the UK for all those international listeners that are always checking out the pod week by week. I appreciate all you guys. Alex, where can everybody find you, man? Throw out your social media, the YouTube page, please mention it all.
Yeah, so the League of Cinephiles on Instagram, follow us there. And then the League of Cinephiles on YouTube, make sure to subscribe. We're very close to 200 subs. You want to get there once we get there. Planning on launching some merch, which should be really fun. Doing, you know, a 6 to 12 hour live stream, which would also be really fun. So, you know, help us get to 200 subs. That would be really awesome. But thanks for having me on. This has been a blast.
Yeah, man. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your Sunday nights to do this for me. And I will definitely have you back on. I appreciate it. Guys, please check out League of Cinephiles on YouTube, Instagram, across all the social media platforms. And I'll put our League of Cinephiles URL and link in the bio for Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Well, that wraps it up, folks. Not just for the episode, but for Mr. Daniel Craig as the one and only martini drinking James Bond. Until next time, signing off.